You're talking about people being sick and ill. Middle of the week, I didn't know if I was going to be here either. I got bitten by a wood tick. I don't know, down here in southern Wisconsin, I don't know if you have them or not. Up in Wausau, northern Wisconsin, they're loaded up there. And it embedded in my calf area, swelled up about, you know, so high. It itches, you can't sleep at night. I went about 2-3 nights with about 2 hours of sleep, because when you put on, they give you a special cream to put on it and antibiotics and all that. It's getting better. Do we spend our time wisely, the time that we have? And I titled the sermon today, Use Time Wisely. We have only so much of it, and God decides when time is up. That's been evident in this Amaro and Milwaukee church this past year. God decides when it's up. Man has come up with all kinds of phrases in that regard, you know, like time marches on, time waits for no man, time is money. There's no time like the present. Procrastination is the thief of time. Time passed me by. Bad habits are a waste of time. Every 24 hours, God gives us a new set of time. We get up in the morning, and you got that length of time for another day. And it's like clockwork, you know. The earth goes around the sun every 24 hours. And it's like clockwork. God is on time. He's always on time. God's plan is based on time. We should live every day like it was the last day of our life. This is the way we should be focusing our life upon that concept. We are one heartbeat away from our time running out. We're one heartbeat away. I know 2 weeks ago, I helped bury my sister-in-law, younger than I am. She had pneumonia that turned into cancer. So I look back on that concept and I say, well, I had pneumonia last winter too. It could have turned into cancer. That's how close we are to our time running out. We just don't know when it's going to happen. Today is the first day of the rest of our life. We got up this morning. I did. I'm sure you did. You're here. And, it's the first day of the rest of our life. It's something to think about. I put these thoughts together after my sister-in-law died. They stood up for my wedding. And when that happens, you stop and think, how much longer do I have left? It's something to think about seriously. So then we should be planning how to use the time that we have left. How to use it wisely. And you can use this concept physically, but mostly spiritually. Younger people, are you thinking about what you're going to do with your life? I knew what I wanted to do with my life when I was in the eighth grade of high school. That's the only education I ever had, because I, I said, this is what I want to do, is be on the farm. What do I want but more education? Which was a mistake. But at that time, when I was a kid, that's the way it was. You had worked on the farm. And I knew what I wanted to do with my life back then. And I have been there ever since, all my life. Let's go to Ecclesiastes, because we're going to be spending some time in that book today. Let's begin in chapter 3. And Solomon, I often wonder why this is written in the Bible for us. Of things that he did, some good, and mostly good, but some aren't so good. Now, I wonder why in the world were they written there for us? Well, let's begin in chapter 3 and verse 1. He says, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. There's a time to be born, a time to die. We all know we're going to die someday. There's a time for that. And we should be anticipating that, looking forward to that, preparing ourselves for it. He says there's a time to plant. And up, well, the spring of the year in this area, and where I come from, in Wausau, is a time to plant for the crops for the next year. A time to pluck up on that which is planted. A time to kill. Now, I looked at that verse, and I said to myself, what in the world is he talking about? Is it the third resurrection? I don't know. But for me, when I looked at that, and I looked at my life on the farm, yes, there was a time to kill. And it was the fall of the year, when you have prepared your winter supply of food for that coming winter months. The fall of the year was when we butchered. At least that's what I got out of this verse. Is that what he meant? I don't know. But that's what I got out of it. The fall of the year, when the flies were gone, this was before refrigeration. And I know the neighbors used to get together and have butchering bees, they called them. Cattle. This was before I was in the church, cattle, hogs, chickens, you name it. And it had, when you butchered, it had to be prepared. And we had a smokehouse at home, it must have been 10 by 12 in diameter. And that was full of meat, smoked. That's how you preserved it, was smoking it. That took time. And the fall of the year is when that all took place. But he says, it's a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, and a time to build up. There is a time when you should be building up people. That's a spiritual aspect. When somebody is in trouble or heading for trouble, you caution them, and you build them up. You build up their confidence. A time to weep. Oh, yeah. You just lose a mate. You're going to weep, and it's a time for it. You should. That's a part of the process of mourning. I had a tough time with it. But you never get over it. You just learn how to live with it. It's a time to laugh. You bet. Rejoicing. We had a baptism up in Amro 2 weeks ago. It's a time of rejoicing. Why should you rejoice? The angels are singing and rejoicing. A time to mourn, a time to dance, a time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak. Oh, yeah, there's a time you just keep your mouth shut. And there's a time you stand up for your rights. There's a balance. Solomon wrote these things for our benefit, because this world It's full of peaks and valleys in your life. And you're going to go through them. I don't care who you are. There's a time for those things. And be prepared for them because it's going to happen. Verse 11, he says, he has made everything beautiful in its time. He has set the world in their heart so that no man can find out the work that God makes from the beginning to the end. To know that there is no good in them but for a man to rejoice and do good in his life. And Mr. Dowd mentioned the last sermon in the book of Ecclesiastes, and we'll get into that a little later on. But all of this is meant for our benefit. To start each day, let's go to Matthew chapter 6. Because how do we go about our time? How do we spend it? What's the first thing we do? Matthew chapter 6. In verse 9, he talks about, this is supposed to be the outline of our prayer life. And after this manner, therefore, pray you, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Daily bread, every day, you ask God for that. And verse 12, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. There is a concept that all of us can improve upon. Why would you want to carry around a grudge the rest of your life? It's a waste of time. Jesus Christ said, I'll repay, let me take care of that. And he can do a better job than we can. Let him do it. Why carry that around? Don't let yesterday's sins hinder your time today. Yesterday's sins hinder your time today. What you do is repent and go forward. God has erased it. Why do we keep carrying it around with us? It's a waste of time. Rather, spend time wanting to build more and more of the characteristics of God. And we have the perfect example in Jesus Christ to follow. This is the instruction that we got from him. So why would you want to carry that with you, that part? Time that should be spent building godly character. Over in the book of Psalms in chapter 90, and in verse 12, I'm on Iowa here. He says in verse 12, so teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Unto wisdom. Now, do you ask for wisdom every day? I do. I have to. I ask God, the first thing I get up in the morning, this is, my life is based upon, I want to talk to God the first thing in the morning and the last thing at night. That's the way I have my life programmed. Most of the time, I do that. In the morning, I'll ask God for wisdom. How do you want me to spend my working hours today? To get the most out of the life that I have left here yet. Get the most out of the talents that I have. Get the most out of the knowledge that I have of God. How do you want me to do that? You have to ask for wisdom. In Psalm 39... Psalms 39 and verse 4. He says, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is that I may know how frail that I am. Ask God to show you what you really are. Ask God to show you how do you look in the eyes of God. I ask that question. And sometimes the answer is not pretty. But sometimes we have to be brutally honest with ourselves. We have to crucify this evil flesh, this carnal nature, and this evil desires, and become more and more like Jesus Christ. This is why we were born. This is why we're here. You know, it was brought out in the sermonette, I think it was a sermonette, that this world is teetering on its last legs. We don't have that much time left. That's the way I look at it. I know that, physically speaking. That came to my attention this last winter. I really lost physically. I lost with pneumonia and bronchitis, now tick bite. How long do any of us have left? Now is the time to spend our time getting closer and closer and closer to God, because things are really going to get tough. There's going to come a time where we may not be able to meet together like we do here. And meeting together with one another builds up your faith. It really does. For me, it does. When I can't get to Sabbath services, I am miserable for the rest of the week. But that's why we should be thankful, and we should be spending our time using the time that we have left to get closer. Well, we talked a little bit about wisdom. Let's go to the book of James, because he said in the book of James, you probably know the scripture by heart, chapter 1 and verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives all men liberally and to upbraideth not, it shall be given him. This is a promise from God. If you're lacking wisdom, if you want more wisdom, you want to know more about God, you want to know more about yourself, you want to know more about how to spend your time, ask God. It's a promise, and he'll stand in the back of it. How much time do we have to do that? I don't know, we only have so much of it. We only have so much time to learn how God thinks. And this is the purpose of our calling. God wants us to become more and more like he is, how he thinks, and how we should react to circumstances that go up in our life every day. Solomon talked about it. There's a time for all of that. Did Solomon waste time? Yes, he did. Yes, he did. Let's go to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes in chapter 2. And this is why it's recorded for us, so that we don't fall into the same trap as he did. Because he said in verse 2 and in chapter 2 and verse 1. He said, I say in my heart, come now, and I will test you with mirth. He's talking to you. Therefore, enjoy pleasure, and behold, this also is vanity. I said of laughter, it is mad, and of mirth, what does it? What good is it? I sought in mine heart to give myself unto wine, yet acquitted mine heart with wisdom, and to lay hold on folly, till I might see what was that good for the sons of men, which they should do under the heaven all the days of their life. Why is this recorded for us? So we don't get too entangled in this world. So we don't fall into the same trap as he did and get so entangled in this world that you lose sight of the fact of why we were called, and it isn't to what he was pursuing here. He said, I made for myself great works. I built houses. Nothing wrong with building houses. But if you're so entangled up in it, and that's all you think and do, and that's all you think about, this is where the problem lies. He says, I planted vineyards. What's wrong with a vineyard? Nothing. Nothing wrong with a vineyard. But as that is your whole focus on life, then you've missed the point. You've missed the point of why you're here. You missed the point of why God called you and wants you to become. I made gardens and orchards, and I planted trees in them of all kinds of fruits. Nothing wrong with an orchard. But if that's your total pursuit in life, you've missed the point. I made pools of water to water therein, and wood that brings forth trees. I got servants and maidens and servants born in my house, and I had great possessions of herds and flocks of all that were in Jerusalem before me. See, he went way overboard. And as Mr. Dodd read at the end of the book, end of his letter, what is the purpose of man? Well, this isn't the purpose. The purpose is back in here in the last two verses that he wrote. He says, I gathered also silver and gold and the particular treasure of kings and of the provinces. He went all over the world getting gold and silver. He wanted that hoard of that. Now you stop and think about it, meditate about it a little bit. He had to have ships to do all of that. Now, they had to be built. Where did the money come from? Well, he raised the taxes of the people, I suppose. I don't know. But it was the wrong concept. It was the wrong reason. I gathered also silver and gold and the peculiar treasure of kings and of the provinces. I got men singers and women singers and the delights of the sons of men as musical instruments, that of all sorts. So I was great and increased more than all that were before me in Jerusalem. Also, he says, my wisdom remained with me. That's amazing. He had the wisdom of God, yet it remained with him. And he came to his senses at the end of the book. And we can just read it again. Let's hear the whole conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man, where God is going to bring every work into judgment and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. God is looking down upon us and me today, seeing how I am using the time that I have left upon this earth. What am I doing with it? Am I using it strictly for pleasure? Nothing wrong with pleasure in its place. But if you go overboard with it, that's where the problem lies. There has to be a balance in all of this. I mentioned this is all recorded for us. I struggled over this for years. I struggled over this. Why is that there? What am I supposed to learn from all of this? Well, I think it's because we don't get too entangled in Satan's world that we lose sight of the very reason why we were called into this church, in God's church. That we use that our time wisely in that respect. Now, I mentioned earlier that the first thing in the morning, I talk with God. I want his protection. I want his help. I want his wisdom. And most of all, I want His Holy Spirit, which this day pictures, so that I can do what He wants me to do, to give me the wisdom and the knowledge to know that. And then last thing at night, I want to talk to Him again. And I do that religiously. So, I'm not saying you have to follow me. Don't follow me. But that's the way I do it. Ask for God for wisdom to make the right choices for the day. Bad habits, we all bring into the church. You ever think about that? And I think the older that you are, that when God called you, the more bad habits you have that you bring into the church and that you have to overcome. When you're younger, you were, say, born in the church, you didn't develop all of those bad habits like I did. So therefore, you don't have as much in that regard to worry about. I used to have a bad... You think my vocabulary is bad. You should have heard me when I was... before God called me. Let's just put it this way. An old salty sailor and I would have made pretty good buddies. I thought I had that habit pretty well mastered. Until about, 3 weeks ago or so, a big block of wood fell on my toe. At that time, I had about three people doing some projects for me on the farm. They heard me and jokingly said they never heard such language. This happened about 2:30 in the afternoon, 3:30, and I spent the rest of the afternoon repenting. This is what you have to do. Don't think for a minute that if you had a bad habit that it suddenly goes away. You have to be on guard constantly. And God, Satan knows you better than you do. And he'll take advantage of it. Our time should be spent overcoming those habits. And when they're pointed out to us in the sermons by Mr. Dowd and other ministers, you take it to heart. I have never heard, I've never heard a bad sermon. Some are better than others. But I will always find something in the sermon, I don't care who gives it, that I can use in my life, that points out to some bad part of my life that I have to change. I hope you take that to heart. There's no such a thing as a wasted sermon, a bad sermon. There's no such a thing. If you're diligent and if you want to become more and more like God is and how He thinks, you will pay attention and see if there's something in there that you can use. Every sermon is not going to be perfect. Forget it. It's not. You're human. Can't be done. But there will be something in there that you can use. A bad part about humanity is procrastination. Procrastination is put something off until tomorrow. I'll do this tomorrow. I'll do this some other time. Spiritually speaking, don't get into that bad habit. If it's pointed out to you, you work on it now. You work on it now. It started early in the morning. We have a bad habit, get started. To get started early in the morning, if you have a bad habit, get started at overcoming. God gave us His help to do it. We really don't have any excuse. And I don't care what kind of a bad habit it is. All that I've talked about, is it all in vain? Let's go to 1 Corinthians, begin there, because I want to get into the aspect of the reward of our efforts. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And verse 9. Paul says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. You ever stop to think about, really meditate upon that verse? Things that we haven't even seen. You know, he was given a vision one time. He was up in the third heaven. Things that he says he couldn't even utter. It was so magnificent. We have that to look forward to. We have all of that. I can remember so well that one particular time up in Wausau, we have the church in Wausau yet then, and I know I had to, I was assigned to give a Bible study, I think it was, or a sermon, I can't remember. And I was tired. I had to get up about 3:30 in the morning, go out and milk the cow, do the chores. And I almost turned around and went back in the house. But I happened to look up into the sky. And I saw the billions of stars up there. And I said, now, wait a minute. I'm destined to inherit all of that. That gave me the courage and the strength to turn around and go back and do my work and go back and do whatever I had to do in the church. We have that. We can look at creation and see the magnificence of God and be motivated to do his work. We're going to be very busy in the millennium. Very busy. Years just to bury the dead. Everything is going to have to be rebuilt from top to bottom. From the buildings in the cities that are going to be destroyed. From the land that produces food, that's going to have to be rebuilt. You name it, there's going to have to be billions of trees replanted. Many people do not understand the trees that are growing, how it takes the pollutant out of the air. Well, they're all going to be destroyed. We're going to have to have a job of planting all of them. This is other than even helping others, because we're going to be kings and priests. So we got our work cut out for us. Buildings of trees, cities to be rebuilt. Land, the whole educational system of this world is going to have to be made over. All of that is going to have to be up to us to do. But God is looking at us now. He wants to see how are we using our time now. Do we hunger and thirst for righteousness as Jesus Christ said we're supposed to be doing? Do we use our time studying his word? Sometimes I often wish that everybody would have the opportunity to give a sermon. You know what that would do? Force you to get into this book. You don't know it, but much the sermons that I give, it's on my knees. I don't have any education. I have to depend on God's Spirit to do it. So you have no excuse. None of you don't. Stand up, be counted. What are we going to be doing after the millennium? Never thought about that. You know, I clipped out an article from a Good News magazine years ago. I clipped it out and I saved it because for me it was so intriguing. I'll just read portions of this, but hopefully you'll follow along and you'll get the point. We are used to living in a limited world. Everything around us has its limitations, beginnings and endings. We are aware of infants being born. We are aware of grandparents dying. We observe animals, plants, and insects beginning life. We see their lives come to an end. We speak of the birth and the death of civilizations, of storms, volcanoes, and comets. We are accustomed to seeing things get old, clothing and furniture wearing out, automobiles falling apart, buildings deteriorate, our bodies become wrinkled and slow. To mortal man, everything has a beginning, a period of usefulness and an end. We mark this progression of events on our clocks and on our calendars. To us, only what is measurable by hours, days, and years seems to have real significance. So when we hear that God is eternal, that He always has been and always will be, our minds balk at that. It's hard to fathom that because we have nothing to really compare it to. The words tend to be meaningless because we have nothing familiar to relate to them. And that is just the problem. We are trying to relate what cannot be related in physical terms. We are trying to apply the limitations of the physical existence we know to the unlimited spiritual plane on which God lives. And the two, they can't be compared. Our minds can encompass an hour, a century, a millennium, but they cannot grasp eternity. What is eternity? How do you explain eternity from a physical standpoint? You can't. I don't know how. They are not big enough to fully comprehend spiritual existence. We can't even fully comprehend the physical universe. I want to read something here about the physical universe. Astronomers estimate that there are 1 billion galaxies. A billion. I don't know, my mind goes blank. Can they see out that far? I don't know. That's what it says here. And each with 1 billion stars that dot the universe. And who knows how many planets and moons. And God says He counts and He names every one of them. My mind goes blank. I can't fathom that, how He can do that. Now, if we allow God, if we allow God one full second by our reckoning of time to count and name each star in the heavens, do you know how long it will take Him to name them all? Working nonstop by our clocks and calendars, it would take more than, I'll read the numbers here, 300, 3, 6, 9, 12 zeros after that. It will take him that many years just to count and to name them. That many years. Brethren, we're to inherit all of that. This is why it's so important that we use the time that God has given us in this life, our physical life today, to overcome this carnal nature of ours, to use God's Spirit, which we're celebrating today, the giving of that power, to do it. And we have no excuse if we don't try. Many times I think God is more interested in how much we try, more than what the fact that we overcome. How are we trying? Are we hungering and thirsting after that? He says in his article, God inhabits eternity. And he's quoting from Isaiah 57 and verse 15. He comfortably dwells in what we might think of as a beginningless and endless time. Where did God come from? That's a good question. Has he always been? Well, he's always been. But I can't fathom that because I'm physical yet. But far more important than the past is eternity into the future. This is what we have to be looking forward to, is the future. Leave the sins and the habits and the things that we have accumulated through life. Throw them back. Get rid of them. Don't dwell on them. Look toward the future. You can have a part in it. The ever-living God wants to change you from temporary, limited, physically being that you are to an immortal one. And when we're immortal, what are we going to be doing with that vast universe? God didn't create it for nothing. He created for a purpose and a reason. But he's testing us now on this earth. How are we using our time to beautify and to restructure the portion of earth that we live on? How are we doing that? How are we treating other people? Do we have the love that Christ had for other people? This is something that I have to think about. He wants to... The ever-living God wants to change you from the temporary, limited, physical being that you are to an immortal, immensely powerful spiritual being, a member of his very family, no more bound by the physics of time and space. By the receiving God's Holy Spirit, you can have the possibility of living forever. He goes on, he says, notice how the Apostle Paul explained the vast difference between those who have God's eternal spirit and those who do not. He says, though our outer nature, the physical, is wasting away, you know, tell me about it. I'm wasting away. And you are too. Every day you waste away a little bit. Getting older, deteriorating. Our inner nature, the spiritual nature in those having the Holy Spirit, is being renewed every day. Do you ask God in the morning to renew His Spirit in you, to increase it? Do you ask Him to help you to do that? Do you ask Him to help to take that Spirit and build the fruits of God's Spirit within you? This is why we're called. We're called to do just that. And there's a great reward for it at the end if we continue and do not falter and we do not give up, so to speak. Times are going to get tough. They're going to get bad. We need each other. We need the prayers of each other. Like I said, I had this tick bite. I didn't know if I was going to be here today. Because you couldn't walk. It hurt so bad. From a little bitty tick that can do that. It's amazing. God created the universe for a reason. Remember, it isn't made in vain. It's you can inhabit it now. But are we going to be a part of making it habitable for all people? We are inherit it all. Before God gives us life, eternal life, before he gives us eternal life, that we can inherit that, he wants to see how we use our temporary time now. Are we using it, spiritually speaking, because this is why we're called. He wants us to be in his family. We talk about Jesus Christ's return. Well, he better return, or we're all doomed. Man will destroy himself. He'd better return. Are we using it to build God-like character? Learning to think like God thinks. That's a challenge, to learn to think like God thinks. But we have no excuse. We have the instruction book. We have the example of Jesus Christ. We have the example of, in the book of Hebrews, the people who have gone before us, who are written in the book of life, and they went through a lot more than we are and probably will. But we need each other. So let us use God's Spirit to become more and more like he is. This is what this day is meant for, to us to reflect upon. That power. There's only a few of us being called now. We're just like a salt shaker being sprinkled upon the earth. But do we give an example to other people? I could do a lot better. Do we give an example to other people of how God acts and thinks and what his character is like? We should be spending more time doing that. I've had an interesting phone call the other day about somebody again wanting to know about what I do, you know, where do I go and all. You never see you anywhere. You used to go out and have a good time. Nothing wrong with a good time, but I went overboard, way overboard. And he said, you don't do that no more. And I says, no, I'm sorry. You won't find that to me no more. I've had a lady call me, wanted me to come over. And I said, no, thank you. Thank you for your call, but no, thank you. Satan will not give up. He's out to destroy you and me. And don't think for one minute that he doesn't know your weaknesses. And he knows them better than you do. Be on guard. Be clothed and with the armor of God, it's talked about in Ephesians. So that one day we'll be born into God's family. Then time will not matter. We won't have to worry about time. Will be in the very family of God. Hopefully then, when we draw our last breath and God raises up again, he can say to you and to me, well done, good and faithful servant. Welcome into the family of God.